You're listening to Radio Primavera Sound, proudly presented by Cupra.
Hello and welcome to Radio Primavera Sound. Yet again, it's been a while, but here we are. And it's a delight to be back with an interview with May Simonez, the American indie jazz math rock musician who absolutely delights me by writing songs in English and Japanese. May was playing Barcelona in September at Laut. There was a lot of interest in the gig. Loads of people, I believe it was sold out. In fact, yes, it was sold out. Loads of people waiting around outside, really excited that she was playing. And I really enjoyed it. She was great to speak to, like really very thoughtful and sincere. And we talked about loads of things, like, you know, what her music was, if you see what I mean. Jazz influenced indie J-pop, I've heard before, which is quite a thing. We talked about the benefits of learning to play your instrument and otherwise writing songs in English and Japanese, and if kind of a different part of May comes across, the importance of recording environments, that kind of thing. Look, I really hope you enjoy it. There will also be a few clips of this on our various social networks, various RPS places, Instagram, that kind of thing, probably YouTube. So go and check them out. But for the moment, this is May Simonez.
Well, thank you so much for agreeing to do this. It's an absolute pleasure. Just before we started recording, I was asking how the tour had been going. It's your second time playing in Europe, right? First time full band?
Yes, second time in Europe, first time full band. First time in Spain, though.
And? Oh, no, you haven't played Spain yet. This is, no.
Yeah, this is the first time, yeah. Last time I only was in, I guess, other parts of Europe, but yeah.
So I find your sound very interesting. I'm sure a lot of people have mentioned this. And I know nobody kind of likes to categorize themselves, but if you were working in a record shop and one of your records came in, where would you put it?
Oh, interesting. That's hard. Probably just like indie or something. Yeah. if there is such a category at a record store. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Indie. Yeah.
Yeah. Just indie, I think. Because I don't think it can go in jazz. I don't think it can go in rock. So probably indie. Yeah.
I mean, I think you once said jazz influenced indie J-pop.
Yes.
Do you stand by that?
Yeah, I do. I think it's like the shortest way to try to sum it up, you know?
I mean, what I find fascinating is how did you get to that sound? Was it just something that came naturally, or did you kind of think about what it is you like in music and went from there?
I would say it came naturally. I just like jazz and I like rock music, and yeah, I guess, I don't know, I think it's just a combination of the different types of music I've studied and practiced growing up. So it wasn't necessarily a conscious thing of like, oh, I'm going to try to make this type of music that's a blend of these different genres. It's just like, I'm just trying to make music that I like, and the music that I like happens to be jazz. Yeah.
I mean, I was reading that you joined a community high school jazz program at school, and kind of at the same time you were into like things like Nirvana and things like that. Did you ever find like a conflict between the two?
Not particularly, no. I guess Nirvana and like the Smashing Pumpkins I listened to a lot in middle school, and then in high school I was listening to more jazz. And I don't know, I never felt like there was any conflict necessarily. I think for me, music is about the feeling that it gives someone, not about like, I mean, obviously I think the technical stuff is really cool, but that's not like the point of it, you know? So for me, it's like, if I just like it or not, you know?
You mentioned the technical stuff. This is something I find fascinating because you obviously play the guitar to a very high level.
Thank you.
And there are some musicians I love who are very, very skilled at it. And there are some musicians who I love who, like, technically, they're not skilled at all, but they kind of just sound brilliant, whatever they're doing. I mean, where do you kind of stand on that, you know, kind of, like, ability? I mean, have you ever felt, for example, that, you know, it's harder for you to play something because you've studied so much or not?
I guess it depends on how you think about it. I mean, I think for me, the way that I think about music, mastering an instrument is like really one of the most important things for me. Like, that's my goal in life, is to be a good guitarist, you know, and like that's what I'll be working towards for the rest of my life. But I do think that there's also a lot of charm that can come from like not really knowing what you're doing and not theoretically understanding what you're doing. Like, I have a lot of friends like that who, like, they don't know what chords they're playing, they don't know what notes they're playing, but they have the ear for it, you know, so it doesn't really matter. So I think like both sides are good. I guess for me, because I, like, you know, I started taking lessons when I was, guitar lessons when I was 11 years old. Like, that's all I know, is like being taught how to do something. So I've never been on the other side of like not knowing theory and stuff like that. So, yeah.
You're from Ann Arbor, right?
Yes.
Which is where the Stooges are from, is that?
Oh, is that true? I don't know, actually.
I think so. I think, I'm not 100% sure. I just thought it was, well, I don't know why this one stood out when I thought about Ann Arbor, basically.
I believe you. If you've heard that, then maybe that's true, yeah.
Like near Detroit, right?
Maybe. But I have no idea, to be honest. So this could be completely untrue and I could be like, yeah.
anyone listening, please fact check that. I may have made a horrendous mistake. Another really fascinating thing about you is you write songs in English and Japanese. Again, was that a decision that you took, or did it just kind of come naturally?
I think that was also pretty natural for the most part. I mean, I didn't write a song that had both languages in it until I got to college, but what made me decide to do it wasn't necessarily like, oh, I'm gonna like start writing lyrics in both Japanese and English and it's gonna be this new thing that I'm doing. It was more so just, I grew up speaking both languages and that's how I'm used to existing, and so then it makes sense for my music to also have both languages in it, and it feels more representative of who I am as a person rather than only having one language. Yeah.
Do you feel like you're a slightly different person when you sing in different languages or when you write songs?
I don't think so. I think it's the same. Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know any Japanese, sadly. But what's it like for kind of writing pop with, you know, big quotation marks, pop songs? Like, does it work well, the language? Or
I think something that I've heard actually is that it is hard to put Japanese words to lyrics because Japanese is a tonal language, so there is a certain way that certain words are supposed to lay, you know, and like how they're supposed to go up and down in terms of the pitch. So I actually have heard people say, oh, it's hard to write lyrics in Japanese because like you have to think about that aspect of it. But because I'm not a native Japanese speaker, I didn't grow up there for my whole life or anything. I feel like I kind of just ignore that part. And so for me, it's pretty easy because I'm not as worried about like, oh, does this word actually work here? And I mean, that goes for English too. I feel like certain singers would be like, oh, I don't want to sing that word because it doesn't feel good to sing, or it doesn't fit well with the melody, or it doesn't fit well with the rhythm. But I'm kind of like, it's fine. Like, if it works, it works. Or if it sounds kind of weird, like, I don't really care. It's not that big of a deal to me, I guess.
I mean, yeah. One thing I find fascinating about your music is that sometimes when I'm listening to it, if I'm not, like, paying lots of attention, I genuinely don't realize when you change languages, you know, it's sort of still doesn't sound the same, but you know what I mean? It's still,
yeah.
I don't know what it is. I guess it's because the melody kind of continues similarly, and yeah, I don't know.
Right. Yeah. Especially in my recent writing, like when I was first starting out, it would be pretty divided section by section. Like, oh, this verse is in Japanese and this chorus is in English. But my more recent songs, it's been within the section, it'll switch languages, or even within a sentence, it'll just be like one word that's in Japanese or one word that's in English. So I feel like it's become more fluid over time as I've been writing more for a longer period of time, yeah.
Is that because the word just works better in one language or the other?
Yeah, usually it's like, oh, this word doesn't fit in English, so let me just try it in Japanese. And then sometimes that fixes the problem and I'm able to have, like, maintain the meaning that I want, but just in a different language, you know?
I think that's a lovely thing.
I think so too.
Math rock is an influence as well, right? I mean, I think I can hear that on "I Can Do What I Want." Yeah, what do you like about it? Do you see a kind of connection with jazz?
Yeah, I think that's where it was coming from in the beginning for sure, because there's a lot of jazz music that is using odd meters. But really, I can't say that I've actually listened to that much math rock or have like learned any math rock songs ever. I think a lot of it comes from when I was in college. I had some friends who were in kind of like more, I guess, math rock or like Midwest emo, if you want to call it that, like that type of music. And I just hadn't really listened to it before, and I heard it and I was like, oh, that's so cool. I want to try doing something like that. And so that's where a lot of the inspiration came from, rather than like, I don't really know any like famous math rock bands, or I haven't like learned any of that music, but yeah.
I mean, Bossa Nova is another big influence on your music, right? I can't think of anyone else who's influenced by both Bossa Nova and math rock.
Right. I can think of maybe like Elephant Gym. Have you heard of Elephant Gym?
They're a Taiwanese
math rock band. They're really great. And I would say they have, I mean, they're math rock, but then they're definitely influenced by like Brazilian music, I think. And also, if you know Tree Coat, they're a Japanese band. They're also like a math rock band, but they sometimes do like a little Latin type of thing too. So yeah, those two, if you want to check them out.
Tree Coat,
yeah. And Elephant Gym.
Okay.
Yeah.
Talking of Japan, you played there relatively recently. How was
it? Oh, it was incredible. We played Fuji Rock, which is a festival that's in the mountains, and it was the biggest audience that we've ever played in front of. So that was really amazing. And it was so fun to meet all the fans and everything. Yeah, it was great.
In 2024, you moved to doing music full time. What was the change like? How did it feel?
It felt great. I mean, before that, I was working at this Japanese preschool in Brooklyn, New York. And that was great because kids are really cute and it was a fun job, but it was also extremely tiring and difficult to have enough energy to like rehearse and record and play shows and do all the things that I wanted to do in addition to like having a job. So for me, it just felt really good to just be able to put all my energy towards music. I was really happy to do that. And that's like, that in itself is a dream come true, to be able to like live off of music. I think it takes a lot to even get to that point. You know what I mean? Yeah.
No, that's very impressive. I mean, if you look at how many musicians, the percentage that will ever, you know, be able to do that is small. I think it's fantastic. Has it changed the way in which you make music or the kind of music you make in any way, like going full time?
Oh, interesting. Maybe my songs have generally become a little happier because I think I'm happier. I think maybe like this album that I put out in May has, I think, a more positive tone than my previous releases. Obviously, there's some, you know, sad songs or whatever, but for the most part, it's happy songs, actually.
That album, Animaru, I probably haven't pronounced it very well, but anyway.
Oh, that was good.
You recorded it at what was described as a rustic studio on a farm in Connecticut. Do you think that environment shaped it?
I think to a certain extent, yeah. I mean, like, obviously the songs were all written and arranged before we got to the studio, but the studio added to the sound in the sense that, like, the drums and a lot of the strings and also guitar, too, all of that was recorded in a barn, and, you know, that is a specific space that has a specific sound. There's also like crickets everywhere that kind of came into the recording a little bit, and, you know, some cows and stuff like that. So I think in that sense, it provided like a space for the album to exist in, which was cool. But sometimes it was like hard because we'd be trying to not have the cricket sound in the song, and that would be a struggle in its own way. But yeah.
I mentioned it before, one of my favorite songs on the album, "I Can Do What I Want." Is that like a declaration of intention?
I think so, yeah. I think so.
I mean, the reason I ask is because it is very complicated in terms of time signature and stopping and starting and that kind of thing. I mean, do you feel very free in making your music? Like, do you can you do what you want?
Right, I think so. Yeah, I mean, obviously, I get stuck and stuff like that in writing, like as most people do. But in terms of like my vision, if you want to call it that, or like what I'm trying to do with music, I'm really, really just trying to make music that I like, and which is, you know, just doing what I want, because I think that that is the best way to connect with people, you know, is to like make stuff that you like and that you love first, and then like other people will like it. Like, you shouldn't be shaping what you're doing based on like other people's opinions or trends or anything, really. I think it's just about making music that you like. Yeah,
not second guessing what other people want. And
yeah,
I mean, yeah. One thing I noticed on your website, I think your quote is saying, "The way I want to live my life is by doing things that are important to me," and I think everyone should live that way. I think I wish I could be more like that. If I may ask, where does this kind of self-confidence come from?
I have no idea, really. I think a big part of it was being able to make the switch to doing music full time. Like, I think that was that gave me a lot of confidence. Because, like, yeah, I really am doing what I want. Like, music is the love of my life, and I'm able to work on that every single day, you know? Yeah.
Going back to sort of complicated songs, I can do what I want. There are the people that say, you know, that people can't handle complicated things in pop music. Again, pop, big quotes. What do you make of that argument? Has anybody ever said, no, this is just too complicated? Stick it in 4/4, key of C, and you know.
No one has ever said that to me, but, you know, I don't think that they would. People who think that way probably are not listening to my music, so I probably wouldn't interface with them anyways. Yeah, I don't know. I've heard that type of rhetoric before, for sure. Like, even some of the venues we play, the people at the venue will be like, oh, what's your crowd going to be like? I bet they're going to be old or something, because they think that, like, only old people can like complicated music or something. But I'm like, no, our crowd is actually all ages. We have a lot of young people who come out and old people, too. But I think that, I don't know, in terms of a song being too complex, like, people, pop music can't be complicated. I don't really think of it in terms of genre anyways, I guess. I'm like, I'm not really concerned about if it's called pop music or not. It is in my head, but like, people can call it whatever they want, I guess. And if it's too complicated, then they should listen to something else. And yeah, I don't know.
The song Dumb Feeling is about your love for New York, right?
Yes.
What do you love about the city?
I think that it's a really special place, as the song goes. I feel like New York is a place where a lot of people go because they have some sort of goal in mind or something they're looking to achieve. And I think that contributes to like a certain type of energy there. Like, people are there working really hard towards something, and I mean, there's a lot of really talented people who live there, and so I think being in that environment is very inspiring, and so I like that. I also like how chaotic the city can be. Like, you know, there's really loud trains everywhere, and, you know, obviously a lot of people and cars and buildings and rats and pigeons, and I enjoy that. I think it's charming. Yeah,
I mean, the video for that song, which I think is like, is that like kind of your typical day in New York?
That was the idea for it, yeah. Yeah, kind of like a day in the life in New York, yeah.
That looks pretty charming. It looks like a nice day.
Yeah.
So your mum, Seiko, makes all your artwork, right?
Yes, yeah.
Is she an artist by trade, I guess? Or?
Yeah, she's a graphic designer and is also a great illustrator. And that's what she's been doing as her work. Yeah.
And I mean, how did it happen? Did she kind of offer, or did you just sort of?
I decided to ask her to do it just because I thought it would be nice to work with her on something. And also, I just like her art. And because she's my mom, I think she obviously knows me really well. And I think that comes through in the artwork, too.
Couple of final things. I just came back. Me and my family came back from Japan about 2 weeks ago.
The first time
there, and we really, really loved it.
Wow.
And we sadly didn't learn much Japanese. But I just want to ask, what's your favorite word in Japanese?
My favorite word? Mm. Oh, man, that's hard. I've never thought about that before. I feel like I'll have to get back to you on that. I have no idea, honestly. But then again, I guess I wouldn't know my favorite word in any language, really. Yeah. Do you know what your favorite word is?
In English, I really like simile.
Mm.
Simile is a nice word.
Because of like the sound of it or the meaning of it?
Because of the sound of it.
Yeah.
But also, the meaning is not... the meaning could be negative, if you see... Sorry. What I mean is, the meaning is quite neutral. Like, right. if it had a nice sound but meant something horrible, I'd be put off it. But the meaning is sort of...
it's kind of simile. Right, so, yeah.
Also, I don't know why, but I thought about that ages ago, and it's, like, been my favourite word ever since.
Wow, so interesting. I'll have to start thinking about that, too.
And then I was going to ask if you've managed to use it in a song, so that would be the...
That would be the follow-up, yeah. So I guess... No, because I don't know what it is, but maybe one day. Or this is a word that I don't know if I could say this is my favorite word, but I like the word kabutomushi, which is like the name of the EP that I put out in 2024. And that is a type of beetle that lives in Japan.
Perfect.
Yes.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
You're listening to Radio Primavera Sound, proudly presented by Kupra.